starts right now.
Brother Bellis in the back, sweet sinners in the front, cruising down the freeway in the hot, hot sun. Suddenly red blue lights flash us from behind, loud voice booming, please step out onto the line. Ballet bridge was a comfort, Cena just hides her eyes, policeman taps the shades, is that a Chevy 69? How bizarre.
And when we walk in those rooms, we do it proud of the fact that we have been held up and held out as a role model. Well, the thing about being a role model is this. When you're a role model, people watch what you do to see if it matches what you say.
Do you still call it mansplaining when it's a woman? Is that appropriate?
That role model?
Yeah.
She's a role model.
Role model. No, she's talking about when she goes all over the world and she talks to world leaders, as she talked about how many she's talked to. She says, you know, when you go in there and you talk to them about what democracy is, well, you have to be a role model of it yourself. Mm-hmm. Uh-huh. So.
On a more specific point in that regard, we want to know that we are sending our children out as role models of a democracy, who therefore know the importance of speaking and telling truth.
I just want to buy a sentence diagram for a moment.
The importance of understanding when you are a leader, you must know history.
What's history?
And by the way, be really clear. Be really clear. All the folks that we would go out and send our children to go and meet around the world are clear about our history. And we're going to send our own children out to not know what it is? Building in a handicap for our children that they are going to be the ones in the room who don't know their own history when the rest of the world does? Think about this for a moment.
I'm so sorry to do this to you so early on a Monday. It's not really kind, but okay. In case you did not know, Vice President Harris came to Florida to speak out about her sudden discovery that Florida is lying and deceiving and manipulating about black history. And she's worried about it because she thinks it's not just happening in Florida. She thinks it's part of a national conspiracy. I'll let her say it in her words.
So when I think about what is happening then here in Florida, I am deeply concerned. Because let's be clear, I do believe this is not only about the state of Florida. There is a national agenda afoot.
I won't even talk about whether afoot is the proper pronunciation. That's fine. There's a national agenda afoot to teach people all the false things about history, including about black history.
And what is happening here in Florida? Extremists, so-called leaders, for months have dared to ban books. Book bans in this year of our Lord, 2023. Extremists here in Florida pass a law, don't say gay, trying to instill fear in our teachers that they should not live their full life and love who they love.
So, you know the context. She's already exaggerating on the history, but that's okay. You know, that's okay. People outside of here don't know what the truth is, and so they repeat the things that are inaccurate. Here we go. Here's the stuff that brought her to Florida.
And now, on top of all of that, they want to replace history with lies. Middle school students in Florida to be told that enslaved people benefited from slavery. High schoolers may be taught that victims of violence, of massacres, were also perpetrators. I said it yesterday. They insult us in an attempt to gaslight us. And we will not have it. And we will not have it.
So in case you kind of missed the story about all of this, the Florida Social Studies Standards came out, and it's a 216-page document. And I'll be honest, I believe it's the fifth grade standards, and I say that because at the very top of the document, it says grade five. I'm not sure that it's fifth grade because it seems to be more advanced than that. I just don't know the answer. I would love to be able to tell you the answer, and oh my God, I splashed around on the Department of Education website, and I just, my eyes glazed over with all the different documents and the formats and the way. I just don't know, okay? But I did what I think some people might not have done, which is I read the relevant portion. So out of 216 pages on social studies standards for, again, I think fifth graders, there are 19 pages on African-American, Black American history, slavery, and racism. 19 pages worth of standards. Now, I mention this because you may recall that when the governor was opposing the African-American history or African-American studies AP program, saying that it was teaching bias and doctrine that was contrary to what Floridians believe in and what even our laws require, saying that it was inaccurate, at least in part enough, that he didn't want it taught in Florida schools. The criticism was Governor DeSantis hates teaching Black history because, you know, he's a racist. Remember that? That he doesn't believe in teaching Black history. He wants to erase Black history. His answer at the time was, that's a weird charge since in Florida it's required by law to teach Black history. And that's what we said. And then the national media and sometimes state media also perpetuated the lie that Governor DeSantis was ending the teaching of Black history and didn't like the teaching of Black history. And we said, no, by law, you actually have to teach it. There's a lot of legal standards for teaching Black history. In fact, when I read through the 19 pages, there's more detail on Black history in this that, again, I think is for fifth graders. It might be for older ages. And again, I'm not sure. Apologize. I wish I could tell you. I didn't learn anywhere near this much Black history when I was in school. And I got a really good public school education in the Chicago area. Okay? So they said he hated Black history and didn't want to teach it. He said, no, there's just this one part of it, and that's why we can't teach that particular course. But still, students in Florida are getting a robust education in Black history. So that was the lie before. Then the newest lie, and then that lie got kind of revisited when the NAACP came out with its travel advisory. And they said, you know, Florida hates Blacks, hates Black history, wants to oppress everybody and deny everything that happened. And again, we said, no, it's by law, you have to teach this. So now this set of standards has come out. 216 pages, 19 of which, it's actually more than 19 because there's a couple of pages later on, but it's not relevant. The point is, there's about a tenth of the document is entirely about Black history, racism, and slavery. And there's all kinds of stuff in here. On page, let's see, this is page 6 of the document, SS.68.AA.23. Examine the various duties and trades performed by slaves. For example, agricultural work, painting, carpentry, tailoring, domestic service, blacksmithing, and transportation. Benchmark clarifications. Clarification 1. Instruction includes how slaves develop skills which, in some instances, could be applied for their personal benefit. Oh, you thought that the world would end. That they would have to say that. And that people, that is the one thing you notice in all of the news stories, is Florida is teaching that in some instances, the trades and skills learned by slaves could be applied for their personal benefit. How dare you? So my first thought was, oh, well, at least you guys are admitting that we teach Black history. Because the other 100 or so paragraphs and lines in this 19 pages worth of Black history standards, you're admitting they exist. You're admitting there's a law. You're admitting we have curriculum to teach it. No, they don't want to talk about that. They just want to move on to the one thing out of these 19 pages that they object to. So that's what Kamala Harris came to town to preach about. Talk about. And how outrageous it is. And she rightly talked about the horrors of slavery. True. But I hate to say it this way. Does that mean that this line is false? That it was never true that there was any person, any slave, who ever benefited in any way from anything they were ever forced to learn as part of... I mean, you get yourself into a position of absurdity when you hate a thing, and you rightly hate slavery, and you rightly hate race-based slavery, and you rightly hate the unbiblical, evil institution of American slavery. But all that said, does that mean that every single slave in every single instance, in every single ownership scenario, endured nothing but horror and terror every single day of their entire lives? No, it's absurd to think that. So then the question is, okay, well, they did learn trades in some cases. Did that benefit them personally in some cases? I mean, the Florida Standards came out with 16 people that gave us historical examples of, you know, not just that it benefited them, but like they went on to, you know, sort of famous lives. And there has been some pushback that some of those examples aren't great examples, but not against all of them. So they didn't just whiff this up out of the air. They said, you know, it might be relevant to understand how, despite the evil of this institution, and despite the fact that it was applied involuntarily on the basis of race, all of which is taught in the standards, that there were still some cases where people who later came out of slavery might have learned something when they were slaves that benefited. That's really all it says. But you would think the world had ended. And again, I remind you, they lied about Florida before, they lied about Florida again, and they're lying about Florida yet again without acknowledging the underlying truth, which is, oh, I guess we are teaching an awful lot about it. And as I said, I read through this standard, I thought, I didn't know that, I didn't learn about that, I didn't know that, I didn't learn about that, and our kids in Florida are learning these things. That's it. That's the point, is just remember that just like every, it seems like national media, and therefore the vice president when she comes to town, just can't help but lying about this state, misrepresenting the facts.
So in the context of that, how is it that anyone could suggest that in the midst of these atrocities, that there was any benefit to being subjected to this level of dehumanization? In the midst of these atrocities, that there was some benefit.
Because maybe there was, in spite of it being an evil, horrible, terrible atrocity. Because those are just the facts, and that's what you want to teach people about history, not to just indoctrinate them to have a certain over-emotional, sensationalized view of a thing, which seems to be what she's complaining we don't do a good enough job of. 523 on News Radio 92.3, I'm Andrew McKay.
The summer selection of Volkswagens is filling up the lot at Pete Moore Imports. Looking for a sedan with incredible style and fuel economy? The 23 Jetta S, now from $22,499. Need more space but want to keep it sporty? The crossover Taos S from $24,999. Next up is the Tiguan S with more room and third row seating from $27,999. And the Atlas Cross Sport SE with technology has high-tech features all at your fingertips, now from $39,999. But the biggest of them all, the 23 Atlas SE with technology will comfortably seat seven adults and is now from $41,995. And the VW ID4 EV is waiting for you to experience electric vehicle technology like never before. So choose from a selection of VWs for every kind of driver this summer at Pete Moore Imports. They're not at Car City, so you won't pay Car City prices. Pete Moore Imports is on New Warrington Road, just up the street from NAS Pensacola, the home of the Blue Angels.
Prices before tag, tax title, and associated dealer fees. See dealer for details.
I can't wait for what's next. Even with higher stroke risk due to atrial fibrillation in a regular heartbeat not caused by a heart valve problem, Eliquis, apixaban tablets, reduces stroke risk. It's the number one cardiologist prescribed blood thinner.
Don't stop taking prescription Eliquis without talking to your doctor, as this may increase your risk of stroke. Eliquis can cause serious and, in rare cases, fatal bleeding. Don't take Eliquis if you have an artificial heart valve, abnormal bleeding, or have antiphospholipid syndrome. While taking, you may bruise more easily or take longer for bleeding to stop. A spinal injection while on Eliquis increases risk of blood clots, which may cause paralysis, the inability to move. Get medical help right away for unexpected bleeding or unusual bruising, or if you have tingling, numbness, or muscle weakness. It may increase your bleeding risk if you take medicines, such as aspirin products, NSAIDs, SSRIs, SNRIs, and blood thinners. Tell your doctor about all planned medical or dental procedures. Learn more at Eliquis.com or call 1-855-ELIQUIS.
This is Todd Thompson, President and CEO of the Greater Pensacola Chamber of Commerce. Join me Monday for the Chamber Connection when I'll be joined by Keith Leonard, Superintendent of Schools for Escambia County. Keith will talk to us about all the efforts that we're putting in for getting kids back to school. It's just around the corner, so join me Monday at 10 for the Chamber Connection with Keith Leonard.
The Pensacola Expert Panel, 9 to 11 weekdays on News Radio 92.3 AM 1620.
The best local resource that happens to be entertaining. News Radio Pensacola is on 92.3, 95.3, and AM 1620.
And right now, we are all in very real danger.
Danger? Ha! I walk on the wild side. I laugh in the face of danger.
Whoa, higher and higher, baby. It's a living thing.
Good morning, 526 here on News Radio 92.3, informative, local, dependable. I'm Andrew McKay. It's a Pensacola Morning News. David Wayne is in the newsroom with our headlines. David?
Former Vice President Mike Pence says the Department of Justice has now lost the confidence of the American people. He was on CNN over the weekend where he said he thinks another indictment against former President Donald Trump would only contribute to that sense. Miami-Dade's police director Freddie Ramirez has reportedly been hurt after what appears to be a self-inflicted gunshot wound. Miami Herald reporting that he shot himself last night, was taken to the hospital for surgery. Sources say that happened while Ramirez was driving back from a conference in Tampa. And the Justice Department giving the state of Texas an ultimatum. They want him to remove that floating barrier from the Rio Grande or say they'll get sued. The DOJ wants the state to remove the barrier. It's made of large floating buoys anchored to the river bottom at a place called Eagle Pass. In a letter to Governor Greg Abbott, they said the barrier was illegal and poses risks to public safety.
Well, yeah, the public safety of people crossing the border illegally from Mexico, right? That's the whole point, right? Oh, my goodness. This ongoing drama over, you know, the federal government, their historic inability to police and allow the policing of that border. And now this example of how, you know, Texas is trying to do something back, and it's a bizarre solution. But if the point is to keep people from crossing the river, it seems to work, although it surprises me that it works all that well. David, thanks so much for the update. 528, News Radio 92.3. Candy, do you even have a Twitter account? I don't even know.
I do. I don't. I don't use it, but I have all these followers, so I figure if I ever want to...
If you ever want to say
talk
some stuff.
Talk mess about you. Yeah.
Good. That's
kidding.
A good place to hide it from.
No,
that's
and
right.
Instagram. Yeah. They just, you can follow me, but I don't do anything.
I'm the same. I post like once every 6 months on Instagram, and still a lot of people. Every time I log in, I'm like, new followers. I'm like, well, it's because I'm promoting it.
No, I set it up so I could try to meet the Rock of Love Girls because I was just obsessed with that show. So that's how long ago it was. So.
I got you.
That's bad, but I never do anything now.
I will tell you that I do not understand what Elon Musk is doing to Twitter. Okay, and I am not a, you know, heavy Twitter user. I use Twitter like as a once in a while I look at it to see why I don't use Twitter is basically the point.
Right.
So today, you've probably heard that the logo is supposed to change from the blue bird to a white X on a black background. What does that represent? I have no idea.
Elon Musk is so weird.
It's
dude.
Like
I love him.
I can't so tell odd. If you know, like a buddy dared him over beers one time, like, bet you can't break Twitter. Bet I can. Right? You know, I don't know. It's bizarre, especially facing competition from Facebook and Threads. I don't get it. I don't understand why you... It's an incredibly recognizable brand icon. Mm-hmm. Their whole linguistic ecosystem of, you know, putting out tweets. I mean, what will you do? Put out X's now? Like, I don't know what their goal is. I don't know what his goal is here. So, just... Kind of curious about it. 437-1620. Oh, this is kind of a bad story, but it's worth knowing, especially because we train a lot of these aviators here. You know the crash, the Osprey crash, the V-22 crash that killed five Marines? Yeah. They have now identified it as a clutch slip problem, which is kind of what had been thought, you know, because they've had this issue in the Ospreys. They don't know what causes this. Nobody knows what causes this. They have, you know, all of their experts trying to figure out what's causing this problem, and nobody knows. They did replace one part not that long ago, maybe a year ago, I think, 2 years ago, that it reduces, they say, the chance of the problem happening by an extraordinary number, like 99%, but it can still happen, and they don't know why it happens. So that's what the report says. It was in this vicinity of the clutch. We don't know what happened. We don't know why it's broken, but it's going to be rare to have happen. That's not an answer, and especially because we train all the rotor pilots for the Marines and the Navy here at Whiting. That means all of these folks come through here and have to look forward to eventually flying that platform, if they're in the Navy or Marines.
Fox News, I'm CJ Papa. X marked the spot for the social media company Twitter. That's its new logo, Elon Musk. He paid $44 billion, officially changed the iconic Bluebird logo to X. Musk previously changed the company, formerly Twitter Inc., to X Corp. The logo was displayed on Twitter's headquarters in San Francisco earlier this morning. The nation's sizzling. More than 250 million Americans will feel the heat this week.
Heat spreading Tuesday and Wednesday. So a broader section of the country, more population getting the heat. But we will, you know, see a little bit of relief in areas that have seen incredible heat for weeks.
Fox senior meteorologist Jen Aseen. Russian authorities blame Ukraine for a drone attack today, striking a weapons depot in Crimea. Russian forces hit a port infrastructure on the Danube River in southern Ukraine. America is listening to Fox News.
Good morning, 531 at News Radio 92.3. It is 76 degrees right now. Partly cloudy skies in Pensacola this morning. Pensacola man was arrested over the weekend. Deputies say he shot his roommate during an argument over bills. 34-year-old Desmond Keon Vincent charged with aggravated battery, and this happened at a home on DeLuna Drive. That's right over near Jackson Street. Deputies say the victim was shot twice, once in the back, once in the abdomen. Their condition currently unknown, and Vincent booked into the Escambia County Jail. He's since been released on $25,000 bond. Several vehicles were damaged Sunday morning when a driver experienced a medical issue in the parking lot at HCA Florida West Hospital on Davis Highway. FHP troopers say the driver crashed a truck into multiple vehicles. It happened about 2:30 Sunday morning. The driver was a 24-year-old man who was admitted into the hospital for further evaluation. Luckily, no injuries were reported. Well, you might remember hearing about that pedestrian accident on Highway 29 earlier this month where two women were hit by separate vehicles while crossing the road. One of those women died right after the crash. We're now seeing reports that the second woman has also passed away. North Escambia reporting that 34-year-old Jessica Mathis died over the past week at Sacred Heart Hospital. The two women were crossing Highway 29 in Century on July 6th when a pickup truck hit Mathis. 53-year-old Jessica Ackerman had attempted to help her when she was hit by a separate passing vehicle. One of Florida's top Democrats wants the state's top education official to resign. Tampa State Representative and House Democratic Caucus Leader Fentrice Driscoll asked for the resignation of Education Commissioner Manny Diaz Jr. over the weekend. Driscoll upset over the state's new social studies curriculum. And the week off to a good start for SpaceX, the company successfully launching another Falcon 9 rocket from Cape Canaveral last night. The rocket was carrying 22 Starlink satellites, part of SpaceX's mission to provide high-speed internet around the world. It is 5:34 at News Radio 92.3, and let's get a look at our Channel 3 weather forecast.
This week, the weather is really looking pretty typical for this time of the year. We'll have the normal heat that we would expect, with highs generally in the low 90s. Plenty of sunshine to heat things up, but every day there is a chance a shower or a thunderstorm will pop up. Rain chances aren't super high, though. We're really only running around a 20% chance for rain every day this week, so just look out for a pop-up thunderstorm. Lows will be in the 70s. I'm Chief Meteorologist Alan Strom with your WEAR News weather forecast.
75 right now in Pensacola. It's 80 in Gulf Breeze and 74 in Milton. Our next news at 6. Breaking news anytime it happens. And I'm David Wayne for News Radio 92.3. Informative, local, dependable.
Tune in to News Radio Pensacola on the FM dial at 92.3 and 95.3. Listen on the AM dial at 1620. Stream us online at newsradio923.com or download the News Radio Pensacola app. You can also listen to podcasts of all of our local shows on demand and get news and traffic alerts. Listen to local talk shows in the morning and afternoon drive, and we're Pensacola's home for Brian Kilmeade. News Radio 92.3. Informative, local, dependable.
NAS Wedding Field is a major training facility for our United States military. It produces more than 1,200 pilots a year and is the home to the largest air wing in the U.S. Navy and produces 100% of all Navy, Marine Corps, and Coast Guard helicopter pilots. But NAS Wedding Field has a lot more to offer and makes a huge impact to our local community. Tune in today at 9 to hear what's happening at NAS Whiting Field on the Pensacola Expert Panel.
The Pensacola Expert Panel, 9 to 11 weekdays on News Radio 92.3 AM 1620.
Serving overseas was just the beginning. We might be home from war, but our mission continues in communities all across the country. It's why we're out there in times of peace and crisis, providing meals to the hungry and supplies to the sick. It's why we're giving strength to those who are too weak and bringing resources to those without them. Service doesn't stop when we're done serving. It's what makes us the VFW. Learn more at vfw.org.
We're committed to providing you with the latest and most accurate information during hurricane season. So tune in to News Radio Pensacola for the latest updates and stay safe.
Tell you one thing right now, it's of my own personal opinion that if there was investigations done, there'd be a lot of people that would be found that they're not under the sunshine, that they would be discussing issues, that they would be discussing issues that they shouldn't be discussing.
So this is a pretty serious allegation made by a member of the public at the Milton City Council meeting on Thursday about the city manager hiring and not hiring fiasco regarding Scott Collins. And even more than that, something that several people had called for on Thursday.
But I really agree with what the lady said right here, that the citizens need to know what happened in this breakdown. I don't know. I would like to know.
Now, it's just a member of the public until you realize that's Grady Hester, who was 21 years a member of the city council. I don't know. This is bad.
You need to look deep inside yourself, and you need to legally find out what caused this.
This is Jerry Cooey.
This is not going to be fixed by batting it around a little bit or asking a few questions. You need an independent third party to come here and ask the hard questions. This needs to be fixed. It's personally embarrassing to me, and it should be embarrassing to all eight of the council members and the mayor.
It is.
That "it is" came from Mayor Heather Lindsay, Casey Powell, who has been one of the voices of sanity on the council that doesn't get a lot of airtime because, you know, voice of sanity. But, you know, and he kind of runs at least one of the three meetings. I forget which one. Maybe it's this one. I forget. But anyway.
We want to talk about putting our house in order, so let's talk about it. I see a continued distrust in individual members and staff displayed by our mayor and perpetrated by a special called meetings that get called and then canceled. It seems that we continue to struggle with not accepting the authority of the council and the decisions that are made. And you can laugh if you'd like. It's not funny, but I appreciate it.
Please allow Mr. Powell to make his statement.
On the other hand, you had Mike Cusack, who is, and I agree with that. I told you about this the other day. I think that the real issue here, the real thing that happened, if you want to do the excavation of it, is as I read it, and I keep saying that, but as I read it, having talked to Scott Collins for an hour on Thursday, I think this all could have been avoided if they would have simply I don't know, trusted each other a little bit and talked with each other a little bit more, or, you know, and basically what happened is a miscommunication came up. Mike Cusack thought he was supposed to lead the negotiations. Alex Andrade, I think correctly, based on the email that Don Molinaro, the city clerk, had sent out explaining that he was supposed to lead the negotiations, thought that he was supposed to lead the negotiations, and Mike Cusack was there as an also-ran. He was not there to run things. He was there to just kind of watch, okay? But Mike got into a conversation with Scott Collins before Alex had ever talked to him. According to Scott Collins, Mike made him an offer, negotiated with him. Now, he says he did not, but I talked to Scott, and Scott seems super credible to me. In fact, Mike said that, Scott Collins said that, you know, what Mike said to him was that Alex had wanted to offer you $128, and then he said, I'll offer you $135. I don't care what Alex wants to offer you. So he was actually doing negotiations before Alex had even talked to him. Then Alex offers $130, and which was higher than what he and Mike had talked about in emails. And Scott gets all confused, doesn't understand what's going on. Meanwhile, he hears rumors about there being some plot to prevent him from having success, and the whole thing just cascades apart. To the point where the mayor and the city clerk are actually getting together at the mayor's house outside of the governmental offices to try to call Scott to salvage it, because they don't believe that they can trust the other people at City Hall to overhear what they're like. It's crazy times. But again, the problem is everybody doesn't trust everybody. And so everybody thinks the worst of everything that everybody else does. Like this business, and again, I know I talked about this on Friday, but this is, for the people who care about Milton, this is so important to understand, that the things I agree with the people who say, you just have to fix this and stop being such dill holes, and eventually, you know, a little bit less dysfunction, you might be able to hire a reasonable candidate to run the city, and you might be able to retain employees who are going to, I would not be surprised if they start jumping ship and going somewhere else. You know, they pay pretty good in Escambia and Pensacola. I mean, I wouldn't work at Escambia County Commission. You know, I'd work for some parts of it, but, you know, that commission is just as crazy as anywhere else. Just maybe not as openly about it these days. But the point is, you got to get that stuff fixed or nothing is going to get better. And, you know, if you trust each other a little bit, then you ask questions and you communicate. And when you don't, you don't. And things go completely sideways. So I agree with that. I don't necessarily agree that you need to have a legal. I mean, I think we understand what happened. At least I do now from talking to Scott Collins. And, you know, a lot of people have listened to that podcast from Friday. So good people seem to understand the situation. And, you know, I think it was totally just miscommunication, misunderstanding, and distrust created this toxic environment. And so I actually agree with what David Farrow, he's the husband of Marilyn Farrow, the city councilwoman.
The citizens of this community see us as a bunch of idiots. Pardon me. But they do.
Yeah, well, of course, you know, you may have contributed to that. Do you remember May?
Smile, you. You know, I'd love to just round my fist in your face.
On the one hand, to be the one calling for civility, on the other hand, to be the one calling for a fist fight involving yourself. I'll give you the example of the mistrust is this whole business about the confrontation, you know, with James Calkins and Jeff Snow after the meeting, you know, where people say, well, what did he say to him? Well, you know, I told him you weren't going to take advantage of us in the negotiations. Scott Collins didn't think that of that. He thought that was a nothing burger. He thought there was nothing weird about it. I mean, actually, he said it was a little awkward, but it's the kind of awkward that comes from somebody being a little bit forward and making a joke and not knowing somebody, but not, it wasn't like confrontational. It wasn't, he wasn't harassed. He wasn't threatened or anything like that. Members of the public who called him were trying to get him to pick sides, but that wasn't harassing or threatening. He doesn't have any ill will against them or against Mike or against Heather or against Alex. Or just like, it's all genuinely ginned up drama. It's just, I mean, I don't know. It's crazy. One of the other things that comes out of this, though, is there was clearly some confusion, which persists to this day, over whether the members of city council should be talking to a candidate after they've decided to hire him and haven't finished the negotiations. I think the answer there is clearly no. There was an issue earlier in the prior meeting when they had said, now that the bid has gone out or is going to go out for the marina development, none of you are allowed to talk to any of the developers. Like, they explicitly warned council about that. They didn't explicitly warn them the same way about not talking to Scott Collins. I thought that was a mistake, because if you're going to warn one, warn them all. But several of them actually did think that was the rule. I think that is the right rule, because you don't want several members of council talking to the potential city manager while you're in negotiations. I mean, frankly, you didn't. I don't think you even wanted Mike Cusack talking to him. But we had several apparently talking to him. Matt Jarrett, however, says I talked to him after he had said no twice.
This vote passed 8-0 unanimously. I talked to Scott after all the contract negotiations were over and he withdrew his application. So at that point, I'm legally allowed to talk to Scott. Scott told me that he was bombarded with phone calls and text messages by the public. Do you really think that's going to bring anybody to our city? Really?
Like, is that the way you do this? And the answer is no. But because Heather Lindsay, the mayor, had talked with him along with Dom Molinarigan at her house, she feels the pressure of needing to clarify that we were allowed to talk to him. It's no big deal.
I would just like to say we were not legally prohibited from speaking to him. There was no procurement policy that prohibited us to
speak. Well, I was just letting you know it was after his withdrawal when he and I had these discussions. Yeah. And he told me flat out that he was bombarded by the public and by public officials.
I appreciate what you're saying. I just wanted to make sure it was clear you were never legally prohibited from speaking to him.
Which is another way of saying I was never. I was never, because, you know, I did. And she actually talked about that.
I just know that Dawn and I did our best to implement the will of the council and to get him to reconsider to speak again with Mike or whomever. We said, would you like to speak to Randy? You know, he's the current city manager. Would that help to answer your questions about the contract? Randy said he'd be willing to speak to him. So we did try. And it's regrettable that we weren't successful, but we did try, members of council. Dawn and I did try very hard to implement your will.
And I don't, after he's withdrawn, you know, I think that was even after the twice. That was definitely after the first withdrawal. I don't really have a problem with it. They're doing what they think is the best, you know, and they're trying to salvage this process. But, you know, obviously nothing worked in the end. This thing is so confusing that a local reporter, I mean the PMJ, and it's not. But in any case, a local reporter actually published a story about all of this and then had to retract the story because of subsequent information that he discovered. And I appreciate Ken Garner being honest about that. But there's so much. Like, there's all kinds of stuff that I haven't disclosed that's sort of public record, public knowledge, because I don't think it helps. You know, and I think a lot of people said and did a lot of things that they would undo. They wish they could unsay and undo. And that's fine. You know, to me, like, my goal in all of this, I know a lot of times we pick on Milton, we talk about the dysfunction, and we make fun of him, we laugh, you know, and that's deserved because I want them to realize how ridiculous it all is. This is a situation where this is really having consequences now. And my goal is just, I'd like to see Milton get better. I'd like to see Milton succeed and thrive. And it can. It really, really can. If you can kind of get past all this nonsense and behave and be nice. But I will tell you, in Thursday night's meeting, it got worse and worse and worse. You had a yelling match between Romy White, who's a friend, she's a publisher of the South Santa Rosa News, and the mayor. In the middle of all that, you had Casey Powell, who's, from my experience, about the most calm member on council. He actually walked out in the middle of the meeting after yelling at Heather for interrupting Romy. Like, it just keeps getting worse. It's bizarre to me. 4376. You almost, I mean, I think, you know, I don't know why Alex keeps going to work. You know, Alex Andrade, because he's done his job, but, you know, he just gets harangued by Mike Cusack in the meeting and by members of the public in the meeting. And just, it's a mess. So hopefully you can do better. There's another meeting tonight, so woohoo. I think it's done. Maybe it's next Monday. I got to check my schedule. It's one of the Mondays for the next meeting. 548 on News Radio 92.3, informative, local, dependable. If you have a need to get HVAC work of any kind done, call Peden. You know, they'll take care of you. The goal when you pick up that phone is, you know, you want uncertainty, you want unprofessionalism, you want things that where they don't stand by their products, right? That's what you want? No, I mean, you want good products, great installation, reliable service, and 100% satisfaction guarantee. That's Peden. That's it. They will take great care of you. They'll do what they say they're going to do. Right now, they got $1,000 off Briggs & Stratton whole home generators. They've got, it's hurricane season, and it's just storm season, right? You know, how many of you have had your power out this summer? Well, you know, this would solve that problem. Free sewer camera inspections, $250 off repairs if you need them done. They're hiring in Baldwin County, HVAC techs and plumbers, and they're servicing Baldwin County. Now, of course, Destin, Fort Walton, Panama City. They've got a big location here in Pensacola in Ellison Field. Peden, PEADEN.com.
As a business owner, you have a lot on your plate, from managing staff, growing your business, training new hires, and more. With so much going on, you need Avalon. As an IRS-certified PEO, Avalon HR can help. From running your payrolls, remitting state and federal taxes, helping with COVID employee retention credits, workers' compensation insurance, employee benefits, and their HR expertise. Avalon HR lets you focus on your core business while we handle the rest. Avalon HR, employing made easy.
This is a test of the emergency alert system. This is only a test.
You know what you want to do in retirement, but do you know how to get there? Tune in to What Your Money Would Say with Andrew McNair of Swan Capital, Saturdays at 1 to get answers to your retirement planning questions. Plan today so you can do all the things you've dreamt about doing in retirement. Don't miss What Your Money Would Say with Andrew McNair, Saturdays at 1. Firm offers insurance services, advisory services offered through Swan Capital, LLC.
Hey, this is Andrew McKay, and it's hurricane season, and we are ready with informative, local, and dependable coverage. Our Storm Experience News team will be here for you with breaking information, including reports from both the Escambia and Santa Rosa County Emergency Operations Centers, live press conferences and interviews with officials, and comprehensive and accurate coverage, along with our TV partners at WEAR Channel 3. We'll help you through the storm. News Radio 92.3, informative, local, dependable.
Text alerts are a great way to stay informed and connected. They're quick, easy, and convenient.
So what are you waiting for?
Download the News Radio Pensacola app and opt in for push notifications.
Tanner, where are you going?
I'm setting booby traps.
Booby traps?
That's what I said, Sam. Setting booby traps in case of anybody's following us.
I don't know if they necessarily apply to this, but public comment can be received on this program as well.
17-0, Mayor.
17-0, we've been cloned. Great.
Remember I told you that the Escambia County and definitely the city of Milton were having problems with their civic clerk software, and it was giving them weird results every time they have a vote?
All members present have voted in favor of moving forward. Further discussion on the request for proposal.
It's 35-0.
35-0. See, we have been cloned. The members have been cloned 5 times.
I talked to Wes Moreno about this on Thursday off the air because I didn't think it really mattered all that much. But he's like, "Yeah, we're working on this." Like the whole system. Apparently, everybody who uses it is having these same results: 17-0, 35-0, 22-0. Hut, Omaha. David Wayne is in the newsroom with our headlines. David.
Well, possibly from the not surprising department, there's a new poll showing voters are not that enthusiastic about the prospect of a 2024 matchup between President Biden and former President Donald Trump. In fact, it says less than half of those surveyed by this was a Yahoo News YouGov poll said they favored either of those candidates. Secretary of State Antony Blinken says Ukraine has now retaken about half of all Russian-occupied territory in the early days of Kyiv's counteroffensive. He was on CNN's GPS on Sunday and called it a very hard fight. And UPS and the Teamsters Union headed back to the bargaining table this week. Contract negotiations will resume Tuesday, and they're hoping to avert a strike by the UPS workers. Their 5-year deal expires at the end of this month.
All right, David, thanks so much for the update. GPS is it's after State of the Union. It's Fareed Zakaria. I don't know. It's a show. It's like eating your lima beans. Like, it's usually really good, okay? It's usually got a lot of dense material, but you feel the whole time like, do I have to keep watching that? Do I really have to force myself? And I'm glad somebody did, because that's where we got that news from. Thanks, David. 5:54 here on News Radio 92.3, informative, local, dependable. Did you watch the women play their soccer game, football, whatever you want to call it?
I saw that it was on.
Yeah, they won
3-0
on Friday.
Great.
It was a walkaway victory. Yeah.
Nice.
What would have been nicer is if the team had showed some sort of patriotism during the national anthem, which they they did not. I take it back. Some
did. What
did
they do? They were playing Vietnam, right?
Yeah, that's right. So they play the anthems, mm-hmm. you know, to open up.
Yeah.
And, you know, the Vietnamese players and the crowd that's Vietnamese, they're singing the national anthem. And then the national anthem for the United States comes on. And, some people sang. You know, some people did. The crowd was singing.
What did the soccer team do?
Well, there were 11 of the women were sort of on the field. 5 of them had covered their hearts. 6 of them had not. And I saw one singing. I read an account that said 3 were singing, so I'm going to give the benefit of the doubt and say 3. And the other 8 were just kind of silent. Because, you know, why would you sing your own country's national anthem when all of the crowd is singing it? Can you hear? It's crowd noise that's singing it, so... Just,
I'm sorry, that burns my butt.
It
I get why Kaepernick did what he did, but like that, and that kind of hurt my. But you know, whatever.
It's the
but,
World Cup, you represent
the world,
your country.
Okay, God, I'm gonna slap those soccer players. I know they would beat my butt, but
no, they would fall over and get a red card.
Right. That's what I'm.
No, look, you represent the country.
You're playing for Team USA, dumbass.
That you keep complaining doesn't pay you enough. If you would make the adult choice, which is I'm going to represent the country fully, or I'm going to not represent the country in protest, whatever the protest is. But no, instead, you want to have your cake and eat it too. You want to go and you want to play and you want to get interviewed and you want to be a celebrity and make your money and you want to sit there and also protest. Well, you know, sometimes you have to do one or the other. Otherwise, you know, what it means to me is you want to take the little parts of the thing that benefit you, and you don't want to take the pain of the consequences of, you know, having a meaningful protest. Figure it out one way or the other. You want to play for Team USA? Play for Team USA. That's it. It's that simple.
You want to be a role model? I don't know. Maybe be a role model?
Maybe. Yeah, maybe.
God.
Maybe also sometimes it's okay to, you know, publicly support a thing that you represent that is flawed, but is still worth representing. And if it's not worth representing, then maybe don't wear that patch. You know, maybe don't wear that uniform. Maybe do something else with your life. 5:57 on News Radio 92.3. Walmart. This is kind of an interesting thing. Walmart is going to be doing sensory-sensitive hours for a couple of months at a lot of the stores. I think it's all the stores, but I suppose, you know, time will honestly tell. But they're going to basically, because you've got a lot of people, especially with back to school, you've got a lot of people, children sometimes, who find, you know, sounds and lights
and
to be
bright lights.
Yeah.
And
so they're doing sensory friendly shopping hours every Saturday morning from 8 a.m. to 10 a.m. through the month of August.
That's great.
As a way, they're going to turn the radios off. They're going to put the TVs on a static display instead of, a you know, changing pictures. They're going to dim the lights. Now, I will say I do have just one concern note about this is I know that at my tender age of 52, if you dim the lights, all of a sudden I have to get out my flashlight, you know, to read.
It's not going
to
be dark.
I don't know how dark or dim it's going to be, but this makes it harder to read the labels for people like me, and I think I'm not alone, who have trouble reading things. Who likes to go on the weekend go shopping? Old people. Because they get to be around other people. And so 8 a.m. to 10 a.m. sounds to me like prime time walker zone.
Okay, speaking as an older person.
At 29,
that's right. No, because I do all of my shopping on Saturday mornings and Sunday mornings.
See?
And so, yeah, we get there early, and they open at 6.
You get your steps in, too?
No, I am not that old. I'm just kidding. I know everybody does that. But no, I'm clearly fat and not getting in my steps, so that's fine. But but we all go early.
Okay.
Early.
Yep. I think it's
all
a good thing.
Is like, God, I'm going to shoplift.
I think it's a kind.
This is going to be great
because it's
going to
be in the dark. Going to be in the dark. Yeah. Okay.
This jack sweaters.
I read a thing the other day. It made me laugh.
Really.
Where somebody they did the self-checkout because it's like all self-checkout now. And they get to the door and they wanted to like see the receipt. And he's like, you know what? If you can trust me to do the self-checkout, you can trust me to do the self-walkout.
I always show my receipt if they ask.
I know, me too. I'm five.
We're so accommodating.
We're so
six,
obedient. Yeah. You know, that's the way it works.
It is.
Bands on the Beach comes up tomorrow night. Gulfside Billion, 7 o'clock. Wester takes the stage. Thanks to Santa Rosana Authority. Putting all of this on. So you have a good time if you go to that again. 7 o'clock, Gulfside Pavilion, tomorrow night. Bands on the Beach out at Santa Rosa Island.